This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and Doug Norrie this week, Wednesday night, following the Brooklyn Nets against the Toronto Raptors to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, and obviously we got a great episode coming up for you guys today. We're going to take a look coming off of a bit of a statement game against the Phoenix Suns for the Brooklyn Nets. Kevin Durant comes back in. So we talk a little bit about what it means for the Brooklyn Nets and that idea of onboarding the talent, right? Seven games together for the big three. Does that really matter? We'll answer that question. We take a look at the seeding. Once upon a time, just six games ago, the Nets had lost to the Philadelphia 76ers and you wondered what it was going to mean for the playoffs. Cut two, they're a game and a half up. Do they care about the number one seed? Are there matchups that would concern Doug Norrie or myself? We'll touch on that as well. And then, hey, friends, if you're talking about Kevin Durant, you're talking about a guy that's won NBA championships, why don't you throw in Oscar winner? We'll talk about what he accomplished off the court with Mike Conley, and also the broader question of why do some fans care so much and take authority over the outside interests of athletes? But before we do, it's the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast. It's on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day except for weekends. I'm Doug Norrie. Maybe some weekends. Doug Norrie, owner-operator of DFSR.com. Head on over there, check out some player projections for the NBA. You can get them for NHL and MLB, too. So it's got you totally covered for all your FanDuel and DraftKings needs. And that is Adam Armbrecht, the host of the One Giant podcast and also the voice of the Brooklyn Nets over on Sportscaster. Buddy, how are we doing? For everyone listening, it's going to be Tuesday morning.
What's that? The scene from Dumb and Dumber? You gonna eat that burger? Yes, no, yes. That crossed my mind. I feel like that's how you came into the introduction there for the.
I didn't want it to get stale. I'm looking. Yeah. I'm trying to switch things up, but then I realized there's like so little to say about us that I just got to do the order of operations a little different. It's not that
just two. I mean, two great guys, you know.
Yeah, I could give like other things. Like I could tell you, I play guitar. I could say you're an artist. I could do all those things. I'm not sure like Nets podcast listeners would care, right? So like, like there's other superlatives that could get, you know, that could get thrown out here. It's just it's a matter of what's the actual person who turns into the Nets podcast going to actually care about. So yes,
yeah,
no,
for example, I spilled soup on my shirt, and I don't know if that's pertinent to what we're doing here, but it is information. So take it.
Yeah, when I introduce myself to people like at get-togethers, I don't say owner of DFSR. I shake their hand and tell them other things. It's just because, you know.
everyone's hand that I shake, by the way, I go, Adam Armbrecht, host, Locked On Nets, Locked On Podcast Network. Like, that's just, that's me. That's how I do it.
You need a Torrey Craig projection? Like, that's it. <just, laughs> All right, so with that being said, we are here to talk about Little Nets basketball. We did a couple solo podcasts over the last couple days just because of the way the schedule was working out. It was just going to be easier for one of the two of us to jump on. Sometimes life gets life is out there happening all around us, and sometimes the schedules don't totally line up. So Adam did a solo podcast late last week. I did one yesterday on the heels of the game against the Suns, which was a Nets win. I did want to revisit something that happened. It was not something that happened in the Suns game. It was just an idea in the Suns game that you and I have talked about, and then we heard Zach Lowe and Kevin Pelton talk about it on the Low Post podcast, and I made a quick mention of it yesterday, just a little bit, you know, the old, you know, raise your hand, turn it around, pat ourselves on the back kind of situation here, because we had talked about a few times in discussing the injury timelines for guys like Durant, for guys like Harden, and while we were concerned about, so we were always concerned about what the actual timelines were. Okay, so we were always like, you know, when are these guys gonna come back? Just because we want them back into the mix. But I think what we were becoming less concerned with, especially in the state of this current NBA, was the need to get the guys like sort of used to playing together or onboarded with each other, or you know, whatever the word you want to use to describe players needing to play together for a while to kind of feel comfortable. I think you and I had like kind of gotten away from being concerned about that. And Pelton and Lowe discussed this on the podcast, saying that they kind of just emulated that. I can't remember which one. I think it was Lowe that had the same idea. Do you, after seeing the Durant game on the against the Suns, do you sort of, did that kind of end up solidifying that idea for you? Because it really did for me.
Yeah, and I talked with Peter Bukowski the other day on the network as well, and did a spot with him. And that was one of the things that he kind of threw out there was, you know, how are you feeling Kevin Durant getting back out there? And it basically was that affirmation. Hey, as long as this guy's right in terms of, as long as this guy's healthy, he's going to walk right back out there,
yeah,
and he's going to do his thing. And I think you can pretty much say that about James Harden and about Kyrie Irving as well. So it does dissuade this notion of, and everyone keeps coming back to it. You saw this get thrown around, you know, nationally as a storyline. Only 7 games played together for all 3 of these superstars. And to your point, I wanted to know, when are they going to be back? That is the thing I had a concern about, just because I want them to be playing. It's only quality if they're all on the court together. But as far as what the product will be on the court together, no. Once the 3 of them are on the floor together, I have zero concern about how it's going to work out. And you could even go back to when the Harden trade rumors were starting to ramp up and people said only one basketball, which at the time I think we pretty much shooed away and was like, yeah, only one basketball, 3 guys. They can pass the ball. They can all shoot it and they're all going to get buckets. Like, right. it's only moved further away from the concerns around chemistry and, you know, acclimating to one another's style of play. And you got those sample sizes early, and then you got things like Kyrie deferring to Harden as the point guard. Little notes like that throughout the season, I think, made it easier to say, hey, as long as we're right health-wise, I have no concerns about the chemistry. And then even that extends to the supporting cast, by the way, too, right? Because all of these supporting cast members, the Joe Harrises, and well, listen, some guys like Shamit or Bruce Brown, it took them a little time to find their rhythm, but that's why you feather in a Jeff Green and you add on a veteran like Blake Griffin, who Kevin Durant just spoke about the other day, saying he's got a high basketball IQ, he understands where to be, he understands to maximize his minutes and his spacing and all those good things. So this is a total culmination of what they've constructed here that I think affords them the ability not to have to be as concerned as maybe a team like last year, the LA Clippers, who seemed to try to nurse their way through the season, and maybe they needed more time to make sure they were going to be in rhythm.
Yeah, these guys just play with so much flow and so much grace. I would say the grace piece is probably more on the Durant and Irving side than the Harden side, but it doesn't really end up mattering because Harden's just, his game is all, is a little bit of bully ball with finesse. Like, he kind of does both by getting to the rim. Like, he gets to the rim in a different way Kyrie does. He kind of just ends up, the finesse is sort of on the perimeter where he ends up trying to break guys down and dribble. But the thing is, his game is so complete in the sense that his court vision is so amazing. And when you have that kind of vision and the ability to score on your own, again, you don't need that much time with other guys to make that work, right? Like, it just doesn't, like, that kind of thing isn't, you mentioned the Clippers, like that is not how Kawhi and PG's games are. Those guys are awesome, so it's not about that. It's just that their games are just different in a way that lends itself to a little bit more needing to sort of figure out how the pieces fit around it. Kevin Durant and I'd probably say in the order of like guys that it doesn't kind of matter who's around them, I'd probably say it goes Durant, James Harden, and then Kyrie. But they all have it sort of in them in the sense that you can kind of just put anybody around them. And then when the pieces are actually competent, like you mentioned, the guys like Harris, guys like Green, then you are looking at something pretty great. So I think in general, we are in agreement that it's now just a matter of when, right? Like, and I think day one they come back, I think that they just kind of dial themselves into championship level basketball, right? Like, they look so freaking good against the Suns that I'm so much less concerned with it now than I really was, and I'm just only worried about when it's going to happen for them coming back.
And it's a nice statement game in that sense, right? I mean, the Suns coming off their bubble performance last year, they get Chris Paul, you know, and now they're, you know, if you're a top team in the Western Conference, that means something, arguably different than being even a 4 seed or, you know, a 5 seed in the East. It's just, yeah, that's just a byproduct of there only being so many good teams. So the Suns have had a really strong season. These games do matter for the Nets, just in terms of where they are in the number 1 seed right now. We're going to get into that in a second. But that was a really nice test for a team, by the way, in the Suns that can light up the scoreboard, right? They can score at will. So I think in that balance of knowing what the Nets can do offensively and saying, well, you know, a team that maybe hangs their hat in the defensive end, I'm not even that concerned about it because we can always overpower you with the scoring. But what if you get into a track meet with a team? Can you run with them? Can you outlast them? And the Nets then showed that against the Suns. And it's just, again, another, you know, another check mark for us as we move through the last couple of weeks of the season.
Yeah, totally. It was a statement game and a game that you didn't really think it was going to be, but it's because it just came so easily. By the way, the three guys we were mentioning, the seven games together this season, they have only played... Oh, I just had it in front of me. Oh, jeez. Let me just do it real quick.
It's
20. Well, it's 26.6 times 7, so it's like 180 something or other. That's how many minutes I had it in front of me, and then I just took it off. That's how many minutes the big three have played together this season. They've only played 186.2 minutes together this entire season, which is really nothing, right? Like that's 40. Yeah, you figure if, like getting into playoffs, you're playing like let's say you play around 40 minutes a game. That's like not even a series worth of playoff games that they played together this year, right? And so it really isn't that much. And yet, it's one of those things like, are we really that concerned with the chemistry? I think in this season more than others, we're definitely not. I think most seasons we wouldn't be, but this season especially, where everyone's going to kind of walk in with their own sort of issues. LeBron James was just given no timetable to return. That was with the note that came out from Shams today. So this is like, I don't know, we're still going into a wide open playoff race. And now we know that they can just keep at least these two guys healthy to start. I'm not even worried about what a first-round matchup would look like at all, and hopefully Harden is back for that. We're going to get into some of this possible playoff seeding here coming down the pike. Get a little Oscar awards. Kevin Durant mentioned at the Oscars. We'll get into that a little bit as well. First, I have to talk to you about Locker Room. This episode is brought to you by Locker Room, first social audio platform made for the sports fan. It's free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite sport or team. Adam and I are going to be on Locker Room tomorrow evening, Wednesday, after the Raptors game. We usually kick off about 20 minutes to a half hour after the game has finished. So head on over to Locker Room. It's the perfect place to start or join a conversation about the league. You'll find us over there, Locked On Nets, really easy. Just go over. We put the link in Twitter as well, so you can go follow us on Locker Room. You'll have a chance to chat with us. We bring people up after the show, talk a little bit about the game. It's always a really, really good time. Go download the free Locker Room app right now. It's currently available on all iOS devices. Make sure you create a profile, link to Twitter, join the NBA groups for the latest league updates. Follow us at Locked On Nets. Can't wait to hear everyone's thoughts on the Nets tomorrow. See you there on Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports.
And this year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insights and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft beginning this Thursday, April 29th through May 1st. So you mentioned the statement game there against the Suns, and now... kind of taking a look here because it was only, I have to take a look at the schedule to really remember, feels like not too long ago that they had the game against the 76ers and the Nets didn't play. You know, Kevin Durant wasn't able to make it back for it. They didn't bring out all their big stars. And the speculation was, now not on this podcast, because when we talked about it, we said, yeah, really don't care. Health is the biggest concern in getting ready for the playoffs. But there was a narrative around what are you potentially costing yourself by not beating the 76ers and by not securing the season series and maybe making it more difficult, pushing yourself into that 2 seed. Now, though, coming off the win over the Suns, who, by the way, had just beaten the Philadelphia 76ers as well, the Nets find themselves a game and a half up in the Eastern Conference, you know, and we're what, 61 games through. So we only have another 11 games to go in the season, a game and a half lead. Now you could, anything could happen here. It's been a weird kind of season, but all of a sudden the Nets are in the driver's seat. And on the last solo episode I did, I talked about that idea of, right, when we said it, where do you want to seed? Would you maybe want to drop down to a 3 seed, depending on who the 6th seed is going to work out to be and get yourself a more favorable matchup? Now, as it stands though, at this point, it feels like the Nets can lock into the number one spot. And you even mentioned the first segment there. Do you really care who comes out of the seeding tournaments? I mean, there's going to be more favorable matchups or, quote, easier matchups. But right now, locking up the number one seed, locking up home court advantage, and then just saying, okay, come see us. We're waiting for you in Brooklyn, right?
Yeah, that okay. So going back two steps here, that Philly game was 7 games ago. The Nets are 4-3 in that time, and basically were without Durant for a bunch of them. By the way, real quick, before we get into the next thing, how long did you think Durant had missed? I talked about this in the solo pod yesterday. I was like, it's such a self-own because I was so wrong about this, and I admitted it. I didn't make the mistake on the pod. I just said where I had gone wrong. Do you have any idea, like, what was your just quick guess off the top of your head? How long did he miss? How long was he out of the lineup for?
Once he came back and then went down again?
From yesterday before, how long ago had he played before yesterday's game?
5 games.
Yeah, well, it was less than a week. Isn't that crazy?
By the way, because that seemed to really, because the narrative ramped back up again, right? I got caught in the swirl of now Kevin Durant, when is he going to be back? But it wasn't that long, right?
It was 6 days. It was 7 days total. It was four games. Isn't that crazy? I was really thrown off by it because I was going to be yeah, we've been without him for weeks. I was wait a second. It's less than a week. It was so weird. Anyway, what were we talking about? Okay, the seating.
I missed him so much.
Yes. So so they're 4-3 since that Philly game. They're going to probably secure the number one seed. It's not going to really I'm with you that it, or I agree that it's not going to really matter in the end, because I don't think we're going to be able to figure out what these playing games are going to end up deciding. So at that point, I think what we've seen from the Nets is they're not concerned. See, I don't think they're concerned about seeding. I think they're concerned about making sure the guys are ready and ramped up to play. And I think and they just happen to be so good that they keep winning. Right? And I actually don't think that they're that. I actually don't think that they probably care that much. I could be wrong here. Maybe the number one seed is really important. Maybe they want, and I don't think there's going to be full capacity of these games. I think it's 25% come playoff time or something like that in Brooklyn. So I don't, maybe they see they want the path through Brooklyn to is tantamount to a really important thing, because maybe being home is just they have shown that actually makes a huge difference now that they're out of the bubble and stuff. So maybe they
haven't lost the game at home when leading going into the fourth quarter so far this season. And so there's a feather in their cap there, certainly.
Yeah, and there is something to be said for staying close, especially in this day and age where traveling can probably be kind of a nightmare and whatever, right? Getting on, going different places and being isolated in hotel rooms. I'm not sure how much of that's still happening on the road. You don't hear as much about it. So it's unclear to me what's exactly happening on place to place. I don't really care either way. I'm just not sure if my comment about them being isolated is true. It might be dependent on what place they go to. I'm not really sure. But
if that's the case, drop it down and get into a 4 or 5 seed and take on the Knicks, so you can just be across town, right? Mitigate that travel. Yeah, that's really
I might have to do a mea culpa on the Knicks. I keep poo pooing how good they are this year because I just totally get it. But they continue to be their defense is number four in the whole league or something like that, defensive efficiency. Anyway, we're getting off the topic. So where they are, that's my fault, by the way. Where they are going in terms of seeding, I think there probably is some part of them that wants to have number one seed. If you put a gun to their head, I think that they would never risk anything in order to get it unless it was so obvious. Unless there could be a situation near the end of the season where all those playing teams you're staring down a Raptors, having to play the Raptors in a first round series who are getting all the way healthy, right? And that you might be okay, we don't want to be in that situation, right? Or if something like that. But short of that, I can't imagine they really care. And those teams so good that they keep winning anyway. So they might just, even if they wanted to not do it, I'm not sure they could even get out of their own way and drop down, right? Because the team is so good, and they just can't help. Even when they didn't have their other guys, they were just winning games. So it's just what happens when you're such a good team. They're like, hey, we're going to win. We'll probably just end up with the one seed because in the end, we're just more talented than anybody anyway.
Well, and because of these play-in seedings that involve the 7, 8, 9, 10. So, whatever. Miami's the 7th seed right now. You're the 1 seed. Well, you've avoided them. But you don't know who's going to come out of that blender at the end of it, right? You could say, what if Toronto sneaks their way up, and there certainly doesn't look like they're going to, but, or even the Wizards right now. Well, they're the low seed, so they could fight their way through and end up being the 8th seed. And from a firepower standpoint, maybe you'd rather play the Pacers if they made it out, or the Hornets, or even the Heat, but you don't know who's going to come out of those 4 teams to make up the 7 and 8 seed. So, best laid plans could go awry anyway. And I think, shy of knowing factually that X team is locked in there or whatever the case may be, to your point, when you're as good as the Nets are, is that really Are you sitting there going, God, I'd hate to see the Heat. Boy, that really, you know, that really could be a problem for us. And this goes into what everyone said about the Sixers game, any of these matchups where you say, what about the bigs? What about an Embiid? You know, what's the impact of a Bam Adebayo going to be for Miami if you had to take him on in a series? All these guys, it doesn't matter. Like, ultimately, the matchups are going to be the matchups, and the Nets are just putting their stock in. We're better than you. Like, that's what, you know, we think we're a better team than all the other teams. So play us for seven games if that's what it takes. And 99 times out of 100, the Nets at least personally feel we're going to win four of those seven games.
I will say, I agree with you. I will say, I still, with all that said, would not want the Raptors to sneak all the way up here and get there.
Caveat. I'm assuming that the Raptors don't pull it off and get into there, because they would be the team that would really bother.
Yeah, because the Wizards have done a really good job of just winning every single game the last little bit. They've won eight in a row. I think they're, as we're recording this, they're winning again. The Raptors are winning also. So we are in a situation now where, as we are podcasting, we probably will have to start scoreboard watching a little bit, because these games are going to really matter. But yeah, no, I'm with you the entire way that I still don't think it would ultimately matter for a first round series. And if we're just in the land of being able to just choose something right now at the top of our heads, I would much rather that be any other team except for a Raptors team that's mostly getting healthy now, at least around the four guys that matter most: VanVleet, Lowry, OG, and Pascal. And they've been starting Ken Burch at center, and Boucher's hurt, but whatever. Those four guys getting healthy is not exactly the group that I would want to see in the first round if it could have been the Wizards, or if it could have been this crappy Pacers team that's really hurt now, or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, it's there.
Well, and in that hierarchy, though, too, you'd say, if Toronto snuck in, that I wouldn't want them. And then maybe Miami, just because of the type of the team they are, and you know they're going to be well coached and they're going to really grind it out with you. That's the scenario where you go, oh boy, are the Nets going to have to go, you know. Now, if they keep the one seed, it's mitigated. But otherwise, you could, if they had fallen from the one seed, it could have been get through Toronto, then get through Milwaukee, then get through Philadelphia. Now is the one seed, which is why you can say whether they care about the one seed in particular versus it just takes out having to play potentially one of those two teams in Philadelphia or Milwaukee after that first round.
Yeah. Well, this is why this you need like a freaking science degree to figure out exactly what these scenarios are. It was hard enough for me to figure out like what was going on in our like fantasy league. It's another thing to figure out these.
I got my abacus out. Oh, get to the next segment. I have a huge announcement to make.
Oh, about the fantasy league. I'm gonna get dusted in our league one. Okay, yeah, it's bad. It's gonna be bad news. Well, it's kind of like good news, bad news for me. Okay, we'll get to that here in a second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Buying car parts right now, I don't know if you've done this lately, it's a disaster. That's a real disaster. If you're going into the local place trying to find the car parts you need, there's 10,000 cars. Cars have a lot of parts, buddy. I don't know if you have seen this before. I don't know if you looked under the old hood lately. There's a lot of parts.
Seven or eight.
more than 10.
Oh, that's
And going into the local place to try to find the exact part you need can be a massive hassle. They can sometimes just be the least helpful people. You don't know what price you're paying. You don't know if it's the right part or not. All of that is taken care of for you over at Rock Auto. Family owned and operated for more than 20 years. RockAuto.com is the number one place to go and buy car parts. Easy drop down menus. You select your make, your model, your year. They're just going to give you all the different choices that you can grab for the different parts that you need. Very easy to search through the website. And you know you're going to get prices 30 to 50% better than those local places. RockAuto.com, all you have to do is when you go to Rock Auto, when they say, how did you hear about us? Just type in Locked On into that little field right there. They'll know that we sent you, and that's all you have to do. You use it once, you'll keep going back. RockAuto.com, the best car parts website there is. RockAuto.com. Also got to talk to you about our friends over at Bet Online, the NBA. Oh my goodness, every single night with these injuries, these lines are moving like crazy. On any given night, you got to be able to take advantage of it. There's one place to do it. Head on over to Bet Online. They got you covered for all the odds that you need. Also, every prop bet you could ever imagine. You just missed the Oscars. The awards and the prop bet awards over there for the Oscars were flowing on Bet Online. They got you covered for every bet imaginable. Right now, go to betonline.ag. You make a free account. That one's easy, but then you're going to want to make a deposit. And when you do, make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON. That's Locked On, just like the podcast network we're on. And they're going to give you a 50% welcome bonus just for signing up. And that's all you have to do is type in Locked On
into that field. Right now, head on over to betonline.ag. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And if you want to get all the sports news that you need in under 20 minutes, you got to be listening to the Locked On Today podcast. It's host Peter Bukowski, probably award-worthy during the awards season, and he updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts on the Locked On Network. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. And you mentioned it, Doug. You said it at the top. You know, add it to the accolades. When Kevin Durant steps onto the court in the playoffs, they don't just announce NBA champion, they announce Oscar-winning Kevin Durant coming off the hot ticket on a Sunday night.
Oh, I wouldn't know. Didn't watch.
No, and listen, and to be fair, neither did I. But the rumor has it that there's a short on Netflix, The Two Distant Strangers, that I haven't been able to check it out yet, but it must be pretty good because it won an Oscar. And both Kevin Durant and Mike Connolly were executive producers on it. I think that Kevin Durant's business partner was also involved in it as well. So probably worth checking out. If it wins an Oscar, it's not like the Golden Globes are just buying these things, right? You got to earn that. So that might be worth it. And on the other tip here, so this is unfortunately, maybe it is a little bit melancholy. We have our fan league that we did specifically for the podcast, but we also did the network league. And I mean, listen, I had higher hopes. I think things unraveled a little bit for you, maybe. I was doing a victory lap for you in some regards. I sent out a lot of insulting text messages to a lot of people on the network. We'll see if that comes back to bite us. But we both, second and third place in the network league, that says something, doesn't it?
I'm sick about it. I was in a championship game. I like just that no one cares about anyone's fantasy league, but guess what? It's my podcast, so I'm just going to talk about this for 2 seconds. So, and I fully understand that people will probably just will look at the numbers, and this is exactly where everyone hits pause. But I was against Doug Branson over there, Locked On Hornets. He's a big guy in the Locked On Network. Made it all the way to the finals. It went actually in the crazy way this does. It went down to the last game of the last day, which is actually pretty rare because usually you just have like random guys from different teams. And he was able to just come. I had the lead all day long. I was actually in a place where I wasn't really following the games that much because I was just doing a family thing. But I had someone else, not you, buddy, my buddy, my other guy, James. He was sending me updates as we went about like Russell Westbrook missing a free throw, cost me free throws, things like that. These are the kind of updates I was getting out on the family day. Like, oh, like, you know, Xavier Tillman got some points. Jonas Valanciunas playing, like things like this. I was getting all day long, only to lose to Doug Branson. So that one was a total crushing blow. I really wanted to win that. Not a single dollar on the line for that league. Right? Only time.
You know what? You know what? Sometimes when you're only playing for pride, that's when it matters the most, I think. So, but listen, I still felt good about it. And it's probably, well, I'll get off of it here because I want to ask you something about just players in general and their off the court interests. But I will say this is both like it's an indictment on me and then a buoy to my spirits because I dumpstered, as I think I said it once before, I dumpstered both of my drafts in the fan league and the network league. I just, you know, a lot of misfires, a lot of mistakes were made. I learned a lot this season. So the fact that I was able to battle myself back, at least in the network league, I take solace in that. I did beat Josh, though, you know, clear editorial here. Josh was not necessarily totally engaged in the third fourth place matchup as
well.
The season
once I hung it, once I hung it on him in the semifinals, that guy had to be so demoralized. I don't really know another way around it. There just has to be. It was embarrassing. I will say, wait, real quick, just a shout out to those of you that are in the fan league, because we've got a pretty robust fan league that's been a lot of activity in this fan league. We're in the semifinals right now. I'm against Dan Lehi. I can't ever pronounce it. I'm terrible with names. It's not against you, Dan. BK Way Leah is the name. Lay. Well, again, the part we could do a whole podcast.
Danny. His name's Danny, by the way. Yeah. So just Danny.
Okay, Danny. We could do a whole podcast of me mispronouncing things. That would be a good one. But I have a feeling I'm gonna lose pretty bad in this one. He's got a great team, so it's probably gonna be the end of the line for me here in the semifinal. So that's your fantasy sports wrap up there. So for everyone that's still tuned in, what was the other question you had?
Well, just a shout out, One Giant Podcast, Andy Makowicz, co-host. I'm taking him on in the consolation bracket. F you, Andy. I'm taking you down as we speak right now. It's actually gonna be a tight one, and I can't afford to lose it. The other question I want to ask you, though, to get back onto topic here, Kevin Durant, Mike Connolly involved in, you know, this some type of production company, executive producing a short film. You can go back and think about guys like Kobe Bryant, who also won an Oscar during his time. But it seems like fans in general, there still is this sense, and we heard this around Kyrie Irving, and whether, you know, if he's fully committed to basketball or not, what are his other interests, social movements or otherwise. Does it resonate with, do you care at all what guys are into off the court? Because it just seems like we are in a day and age when athletes in general have expanded beyond just the sport that they play, and they're far more comfortable now than maybe they ever have been in saying, there's other things I might like to do, and I'm willing to dip my toe into those waters, and there's no need to have a detraction from it. I think Michael Jordan was a good example of this back before he got into it. He was just solely focused on basketball, and then when some of the revenue came in from sponsorships and, you know, contract with shoe companies and all that kind of stuff, it opened up his eyes to that there's a lot of money to be made out here beyond the game, and I'd be almost foolhardy not to take advantage of it.
Yeah, in my opinion, anyone who gets mad at someone else doing something is—it's just an incredible self. It's just like such an incredible self-own for the person who gets mad about it. Like, I'll never understand it. And usually, it comes from two kinds of people. And if you're one of these people, just do well. You're not going to be the first kind, unless you're Skip Bayless or someone like that. So you're going to wipe yourself out of the first category right away. It's someone that's just like looking for hot takes and wants to only looks at like what something engages with on Twitter when he sends it, does not actually care about the opinion, just looks at it like if it got a lot of impressions and that's the next thing he's going to say. So I don't think most people fall into that category. The second category is the person who somehow thinks that they are the arbiter of what anyone else is allowed to be into because they follow that person in one other medium, and then that's supposed to translate to all other things. If you were this person, if you were a person that is like the shut up and dribble person, or if you're the, you know, I don't even mean it like around like political issues. I mean it just about anything, like art, whatever. Like, who cares? What do you care? Like, I'll never understand. Like, I'll never understand anyone when it doesn't directly affect. Like, so the only times other people's actions would ever care, I would ever care about, is if they somehow directly affected me on either like a personal level, or there was like they were espousing some idea that could enact some kind of legal change that could also be bad for me, right? Like, those are the two times where I'd say like, hey, we don't need your opinion on this, or that opinion's bad, or like whatever you're into is bad here. That's totally different than what you're asking, which is if they're just into making movies, like, who cares? Like, go and do whatever you want. Because I'm sure what those people would not want is someone coming into their life and be like, hey, I noticed you're an accountant. Like, I don't think you should be playing basketball on the weekends. And it'd be like nice if you kind of like stuck to the numbers. You know what I mean? Because I kind of saw you down at the court last week, and I don't know, I'm just like a little bit wondering why you weren't back in the office crunching numbers and making sure the taxes were filed on time. You know what I mean? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous when you translate that kind of line of thinking to anything else. Like, and especially if you do it to someone.
Yeah, solely lives in sports, right?
Oh, yeah, well, for some reason, like, frankly, sometimes, like, some groups have done really bad jobs at it, I think. Like, some groups have done really bad jobs of putting out their opinions in a way that they think that like their opinion matters more because they're famous. Like, that, even that probably is like a little different. It doesn't matter. It's just someone's opinion. So like, I just don't understand why opinions or like interests or anything like that would be something that anybody cares about. Frankly, if you don't like the opinion, mostly just ignore it. Like, the easiest thing in the world is to just move on. Like, I'll never understand people that get mad about that thing because it's just not something. Something I ever think about.
No, yeah. Like, usually when I hear something like this, I go, "Huh, that's interesting." Like, that's usually my like when I heard that Kevin Durant won an Oscar, I was like, "Huh."
I wish I could win an Oscar. Nice. You're thinking, be like, how do I win an Oscar?
I wish if in my spare time off of the podcast, I could have been winning an Oscar. Believe me, I want my name to get called on Sunday night. Like, that's what I was looking for. But and then I will say that it's just like just a fun way to get out of the podcast. But and then it also doesn't seem to matter if you're, say, Dame Lillard, who has his rap career and is really good. Everyone acknowledges this dude is a phenomenal rapper. Like, he's legit talented. So if you're good enough at the thing you do on the side, then it's okay. But it can't just be that maybe you just enjoy something. Like, it couldn't be that, you know, I'm on the weekends, I like to collect old vinyl records. Like, you son of a... it's all MP3s or nothing.
Get back to podcasting. Shut up and podcast. Yeah. What's your problem?
Yeah.
That kind of line, again, if you're that kind of person, here's a PSA. If you're the kind of person that spends a lot of your time worrying about what other people do that has legit not a single shred of difference in your own life, like you have an issue. It's definitely a problem. It's a you problem. It's not anybody else's problem but you. If you care at all what other people are into, especially when it's like this, like making a movie, again, it doesn't affect your life at all. Move on. Who cares? Either congratulate them or just go find a hobby for yourself that you can excel at. Because otherwise, those are the only two acceptable responses to things like that, as far as I'm concerned.
Locked On Nets. This is what we do. We're here for the people. We're here to spread knowledge.
You struck a nerve here, buddy, because you know me. You know just the right question to ask me. This is the kind of thing. Yeah, this is the kind of thing that Adam knows that will. It's like certain things won't really get me, but things like this, like people, like, I don't know, impinging on people's personal freedoms around things that have no bearing at all on others. That's something that Adam knows how to touch the old buttons there. All right, we're going to get out of here. What's the name of our podcast? I'm all fired up. Locked On Nets is the podcast. Go rate and review it wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust. Wherever you listen, write a review too, because those have really found to be helpful, help us move up the charts numbers, maintained really, really high numbers over the course of the season. Really happy for everyone that's come on board. Much appreciative. So go rate and review the podcast wherever you listen, and make sure you download the Locker Room app and join us tomorrow after the Raptors game on Locker Room, where we'll be doing the podcast and then jumping in with fans.
Let's triple down here. Okay, rapid fire. Derek Fisher will prove to be a much better NBA coach than Steve Kerr. Underrated, Austin Rivers has star power. Overrated, Bradley Beal just didn't see it enough. You'd bet I'd take Tim Tebow late in games over Aaron Rodgers. Tebow, 4 game-winning drives and 9 starts. Aaron Rodgers, unproven late, not enough opportunities. Skip Bayless, all 3, across the board.
Never mind. I always close this out with one of the all-time great poets. Not that guy.
One of the all-time great dumpster fire quotes. Skip Bayless.
Just a total dumpster fire. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.